What's up, beautiful people? This is the Grown Folks Business Podcast. I am your host, Stevie Wakes, and I'm here with my illustrious co-host, that would be Miss...
Dani Rose.
What's happening, Miss Rose?
Nothing much. Just here, so I won't get fined.
We are back in the building. Okay. There we go. We are back in the building. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we've been gone. We've been out here working, like Michael Jackson said. Got me working day and night.
We've been handling business.
We've been out here working me like I'm a prostitute working in an alley on Hollywood Boulevard. Hey. Ain't nobody got time. My daddy said that when I got here to California. He told me, don't end up down there on Hollywood Boulevard. God rest his soul. And I told him, I said, listen, I think I got enough talent out here where I ain't got to go do that. But just in case I had to, just know it wouldn't be on Hollywood Boulevard, okay? I'd be the madam.
Running the house.
I run the house. I'm a businesswoman.
At the end of the day.
But y'all out there to work.
Gotcha.
All right. Madam sopped up.
Madam sopped up.
Okay. Sop it up. Things get hard. I know what to do.
That would be a whole vibe.
I'll be putting that. Okay. The sopped up community be on out there in the street.
Yeah. Right.
Apply today. No, I'm cooking things don't work out. I know what I can do. Hey. But that told me that. I remember that. I was like, what? Hey, listen. Don't go down there and get on them stuff. And end up down at Hollywood Boulevard now. I was like, wow. You don't know about that?
Man, shout out to Haywood, man.
I know, right? Yeah, Scar rest his soul. Yeah. That's what he told me. But that's what I feel like, honey. I feel like I just, I've been out here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been busy.
Yeah. How you been dealing with everything? I mean, you literally jumping back into it. You got a lot going on. So how are you? Let's do a check-in on Miss Rose real quick.
Don't try to get in my business. You know how I am. You see me every day.
So you ain't going to talk to me? People. You ain't going to talk to me? Dani Rose said this is my podcast. She said I get to take the lead. So.
I'm just news, showing up as talent.
Yeah. So let me ask you them Oprah questions.
Me.
Nah, for real. How are you though? Real talk.
You want to open me some? You don't want to open that box. Because we're going to unpack that. I'll be open the answer. I can't even get it out. That's how tired I am. Asking the Oprah questions up in here.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
Cool.
God be the glory.
Yeah.
All the things he's done and doing. But God, if you hear me, you just ease up just a little bit.
A little bit of pressure.
Just a little bit. But yeah, no, I'm okay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man.
See, you brought me a bracelet, and it keep getting stuck on my dress. Bracelet said, who is that luscious caramel thing over here you can put me on?
It's trying to stay close to you.
Trying to stay close. Get off of me. This is Winnie David and Bathsheba.
The hand of the deflection.
Okay, listen. He did.
Yeah.
He got me a cute little bracelet. He wouldn't give me his, so he brought me one. So thank
you.
Yeah,
man. I had to do something.
I like gifts. You know that.
This is true. Answer your question. I've been good, man. Noah's birthday party, as you know, was this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So I made it through 420 successfully.
Yes.
We had his birthday party, and my son is really into Minecraft. So we went all out, and I bought him every Minecraft toy I could find in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that he could have a good time. Bought him the video game and all that. So, but it was a good time. Yeah. It was
cool. Happy birthday! Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
ha! Y'all don't like that. Okay, y'all heard it.
Oh man,
killing it. That's good. Yes, we've just been busy. So, but things are good. So we missed you guys. We're here. We missed you guys.
We are back.
And we are back like we never left. You fizz naive.
You fizz me.
Okay, you've been out here in the streets. We are vaccinated and ready to roll.
Period. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and don't tell us that, listen, when we want your opinion, we'll give it to you about our vaccination, okay? all these little Christians running around
in
here.
Some type of way. Yeah.
Okay, listen, if unprotected sex didn't kill you, hallelujah, this vaccination won't. Leave me alone.
Okay. Tell them the truth.
Y'all raw vegans ain't the only thing. They ain't the only thing y'all been consuming raw. I know it.
Goodness.
I know what you do. Oh, yeah.
And all God's people said, Amen.
Not amen. Yeah. Anyway, we good.
Yeah, we have a lot of things happening, man, with the Grown Folks Business Podcast. So thank you guys so much for your patience. Part of the thing that we are excited about is that we actually have an ad, y'all.
Oh!
Yeah, we in the money. Okay. So
we're in the money.
Yeah.
Okay, in the words of Gerald, big bag.
Big bag. And as a result, man, so I'm into fitness. Danny's into fitness. We definitely love to get our workout in. It kind of helps us keep our mind straight, especially in the AM.
Helps me not go off on Stevie on a daily basis. Thank God.
Y'all keep the woman of God in prayer because she be suffering, you know. But anyway, we have a wonderful ad that we want to talk about today because Magic Spoon is actually sponsoring this particular episode of the Grown Folks Business Podcast. And for me personally, I am somebody who loves to drink protein shakes and get my protein in before or after the workout, things like that. And this particular company is actually a cereal. And it's a cereal that allows me to get my protein in each and every morning or after I get done with a workout or if in case I just want a midnight snack. So that is what Magic Spoon is all about. Mm-hmm. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. Mm. Comes in a variety pack of 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter.
I tasted stuff and I said, okay, I'm gonna mix the peanut butter with the chocolate, okay, like a little Reese's cup.
Period.
It's kind of soft too.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
So Magic Spoon was kind enough to actually offer those of you who are listening a way in which you can go ahead and grab this particular cereal. If it's something you want to add to your diet, go to magicspoon.com/grownfolks to grab a variety pack and try it today.
Yep.
And be sure to use our promo code GrownFolks at checkout to save $5 off your order.
$5. That's a lot of money these days.
Yeah, man.
$5. Go there and put in Grown Folks and save $5. I said, save $5. Okay? Put that code up in there. Get them babies off all that sugar cereal, okay? And go get you some Magic Spoon, okay? Because I gave it to my daughter.
Period.
She was like, okay, then.
Yeah.
She walked out there like a hook, baby. That 14 grams of protein. Really nice. Okay? Yeah, so Stevie really enjoyed it, too, so.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely getting it in. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. And remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/grownfolks and use the code GrownFolks to save $5 off.
Okay.
Thank you, Magic Spoon.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, man, for sponsoring this particular episode of the Grown Folks Business Podcast. And without further ado, we're going to get into this particular week's episode. This week, we are going to be talking about boundaries. Yeah, man. Boundaries.
Okay.
Now, I have a little background in this particular space because I got to meet the author of the book Boundaries, which is written by Dr. Henry Cloud. The book was phenomenal for me to understand boundaries not only in your romantic relationships, but also your friendships and just with people, period. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and break down exactly what we feel about boundaries. And then, of course, definitely put our little flavor spin on it.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So one of the things that I wanted to hit you with today, Miss Rose, is the hurt you versus the real you.
Oh, period.
So one of the segments is the hurt you experienced controlling parents, so you pick controlling partners.
Uh-huh.
Or conversely, the hurt you experienced controlling parents, so you choose passive partners as a way to offset. So it's kind of like if you had parents who were kind of controlling in your life, you want to either find the opposite of that because it was traumatic for you, or you find yourself picking people who are just like your parents, creating the similar atmosphere.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's one of the concepts of boundaries is, are you aware of the things that may cause you to form the current boundaries or things that you accept now? Think of boundaries the way Danny just put it. She put a framework like a fence around your house. Boundaries really suggest who you let in and who you decide that needs to stay out of your business.
Right.
So, in the case of parents, how did your parents help you shape the boundaries that you currently have today? did your parents make you decide that this is what you want in your future? Did they create an atmosphere where you said, I want something different in my life? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was raised really traditional Southern, and so they don't believe in any type of boundaries, those type of parents. That's just not what that is. You do what I say, how I want you to do it, when I want you to do it, period. And so that
what
was,
you mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's not, there were boundaries. What do you mean? Yeah. That's not.
Can't close your door to your room.
Oh, the door's going to be off the hinges. What period. You mean? Yeah. I mean, I'm even similar to that with my daughter. Like. You gotta ask to close the door around here. Stop playing with me. Yeah. Okay, what you trying to hide up in there?
Right.
Okay, she should be sneaky. But all the parents out here gonna be like, yeah, I know what she's talking about. That door will be off the hinge. You hear me? Yeah. Period. So what I decided to do, I didn't even know, have an idea what that was growing up, because like I said, I grew up a different type of way. And so, but what I decided to do now in my adult life is to not lean into that as much. Just to answer your question. So, okay. I create my own boundaries now, even with my parents, even with my family, whatever that is, I still have those. Gotcha. I decided to do that for me.
Gotcha.
And I implemented that in my life because I didn't have that growing up or in my early adulthood.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel that. Mm-hmm. I realized that for me, I remember talking to a friend of mine. He was talking about the boundaries that he had set up for his money.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that there was a situation where he actually had a wedding that was happening in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, he was saving money in order to, you know, put himself in a better financial space.
Uh-huh.
So he's building up this cash. And then all of a sudden, the family is like, are you coming to the wedding? And he's like, he had to fly to go to it. So he was like, I really don't have the cash to come. And nobody offered to help him. It wasn't like a family member stepped in and said, we'll pave the way.
Right.
So what he said he was going to do is he said, you know what? I'm just going to have to miss it because I really need to save this capital and this cash. And one of his family members told him, they said, if you don't come to this wedding, you ain't family.
Okay.
And so it made him really make a choice. And in that moment, he realized he compromised his financial boundaries because of this particular person in the family statement.
He's a people pleaser.
And as a result, so then he realized other times somebody would say they wanted this to happen or they wanted to spend money when it came to his kids or when it came to his spouse or when it came to other situations. Hey, you know, boys want to come hang out and they're like, hey, man, come on. Really, he want to save money instead of spend it. But because of that, that happened early on in his life when it came to his money, he never really established or reestablished that boundary. So it never was set. So he never actually got like a foothold of that particular space for a while anyway.
Well, I believe he said it. He just didn't honor it. So no one else is supposed to.
What you mean by that?
So he set an imaginary boundary
uh-huh.
that only he can see, mm-hmm. but no one else.
Gotcha.
So he doesn't stick to what he set for himself. So how does he expect for anyone else to stick to that? Nobody knows that this boundary is even here because he's never voiced it. And the reason why he hasn't voiced it is because he is a people pleaser. I don't voice what I say because I'm worried about and concerned about what you're going to say in response to me. If I say this. So many people do that. They create these things in their head, but they're not voiced. And then when someone oversteps that invisible boundary that only you can see, rather, then they get offended. But you never voiced this in the first place. So people pleasing, I believe, is the root of boundaries being broken. One of the things I can say. There are several things, but I believe that that is a leading factor in that. Case in point, what has just happened to old boy.
Gotcha.
You know you ain't got no, you want to save some money. They ain't offering to pay. First of all, let's just talk about that too. Why they ain't offering to pay? You, I know your real friends, because you, to real
family.
Real friends,
real family,
whatever that is,
yeah.
You should be able to say, hey, listen, I really want to come to this, but this is where I'm at right now. And then they'll be like, it's okay, I got you, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can unpack that little box so many different ways, but okay. For real. You know what I'm saying? Let's start with that. Why do you even feel like you have to even lie or can't voice how you truly feel in the beginning with the people that you're supposed to be connected to?
Yeah.
So that's one problem.
Okay.
Then on top of that, you know, that's not a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's not a safe space. So you now got to create these boundaries. But then you don't even under the boundaries, but you want them to under the boundaries. And now you in your feelings because they ain't undering these boundaries. They don't even know that's it.
It's a good question. So in that context, in your opinion, how much should a person honor their boundaries? Like, to what extent? Is there such a thing as honoring your boundaries too much? Like, you are so set on not bending in this particular way that it negatively affects the people around you.
I think that these are, first of all, I just want to say this out loud, all the people out there, these are opinions, not facts.
That is literally like the disclaimer that goes across the screen as we do this podcast.
These are opinions, not facts. I can just talk from what I believe and think. That's why we at the podcast.
Right.
But I feel like it depends on where you are in your life. So if you're on a path of healing and you know that I'm setting these boundaries so that I can effectively heal and be a better version of myself, then I have to stick to them no matter what. That's practicing safe boundary setting to me.
Yeah.
But if you are like, I guess it depends. Like, if it's a toxic thing, then you have to implement your boundary. But if it's just a like, I don't want to go over here to this XYZ thing because I just don't want to go, that's a power choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then we have power choice, then boundaries. How gotcha. About making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody is actually, I think, as you said, imagine somebody healing. I picture somebody in the hospital. If you're mm-hmm. in the hospital and you know that the doctor told you, hey, you were in a severe car accident, you actually need to go through this process of physical therapy in order to heal, then I think that somebody asking you to go run a marathon is a time for you to implement healthy boundaries.
Right, like, that's so dumb. I yeah, can't I'm going to get on that.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, I just couldn't tell Jason no. You know, I just couldn't tell Rick no. I couldn't tell Shanice no. That's what they do. They literally operate that. So I think in those cases, like you said, when you're in a season of healing, you have to be back to self-aware of exactly the stage and the page that you're on, so that you literally, it's not people's job to be aware of you. That's not their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job. So if somebody is literally unaware of the healing process that you're going through because they're not aware of the hospital visits that you've been enduring, then it's up to you to actually set those boundaries and say, nah, I can't really do that. I had this kid that I knew in high school who used to always say he was broke. Every time we was talking about going somewhere, he's like, but he always said it like he was like this cool cat. And he always just say, nah, I just ain't got the ends right now. That's what he used to say. He wouldn't say he's broke. I just ain't got the ends right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to think like, man, he ain't never got the ends.
Like, but he had a long pinky nail. Yeah.
Man, he was
a pusher man.
Man, right? So he used to say that all the time. But then I'll never forget, we all went to this fair and we all had like girls that were with us and stuff like that. And we were all out together. And he pulled out this.
The pastor's son.
Oh, hell.
Each person
had one person. It wasn't like they
were. Nah, you
like
a monogamous stoner player.
Anyway.
Preacher player.
Don't lie to these people. So anyway, he pulls out like this wad of cash when he actually is at the fair. You know what I'm saying? He's buying this, that, and the other. And so I realized he was saving for a time. That's what it really was. Uh-huh. He just established that particular boundary. Like, nah, I'm not spending it on what y'all trying to spend money on.
Yeah. It's almost like saying, I got money, I just don't have money for that.
Period. Exactly. Exactly.
I think that one of the things that I want to say is that I feel like people pleasing is the root of not having your boundaries respected. And I also feel like people pleasing is a graveyard for every healer.
Come on, word.
I do believe that. I believe that's a graveyard for every person that wants their healing. You have to get, that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to get past, and people pleasing. And it has a lot to do with how you view yourself. And I feel like people aren't delivered from other people's opinions. So that's a root issue that you got to kind of filter through.
Not delivered from other people's opinions.
Yeah, that's a whole message by itself. We talk about bound. That's boundary. You are bound by this.
Yeah.
Oh, I know I got a word in the house. I know I do. Who's my cash app up there?
Touch your neighbor and say.
Hallelujah. He's worthy. But yeah, you know what I mean? You are bound by this, actually, because a lot of times it does start with the root of people pleasing. And so many other things I'm sure we can unpack. I do believe that this is more than one episode. But a lot of times for me, and looking in the inside of folks' business, mm-hmm. people just tell us their business. The root of the problem is, for many people, is that they're trying to be a people pleaser because they're afraid of what someone else may say. And the thing about it is that they're going to get theirs. You ain't going to get yours.
Right, right. So two things with that. Do you think that actually starts in the home? Do you think that your parents, or just parents, period, set the tone for healthy boundaries?
Ooh, you finna have my mama mad at you. Y'all, see, my mama loves Steven. She gonna text for you. This is what we doing.
I'm sorry, Mother Rose. I got something to say today. I got something to say.
Ask me that question again. I can effectively answer. I got it.
Yeah. I'm saying that, do you think that that starts in the home? Meaning, is the home responsible for creating or setting a tone for what is healthy boundaries?
Sure. But like in parenting, it's how do you do that a lot of times? You know what I'm saying? Because how do you teach your children to set boundaries before the age of 18? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
They set boundaries with their friends. Of course, you can talk about that. But then in parenting, it's more so about I'm leading you. I'm your leader to become a better person, to grow up, to be a certain way, all this stuff or whatever. So to me, I can't effectively answer that question. So don't have, in the words of my daddy, don't have me lying out here. That's something I guess you can help me through.
Well, I'm going to speak from it from, again, this ain't facts, this is just opinions.
Sure.
When it comes to, say, the relationship I have with my son, it's not so much that I'm teaching him to be or create and cultivate boundaries when it comes to me as much as it is towards other people.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there's times where somebody may want him to go do something, or no, just come over here, or come on, just do this, or just do that. And it's like, nah. And I have to invoke and suggest to him now, like, you don't have to do these things that you don't want to do.
Right.
Just because you fit, you know what I mean? That's, to me, how you first set the tone. I mean, but it literally applies if you're going to talk about family. We talked about this before. What happens when grandma or some auntie creates or, you know, knits this nice little sweater that they want the kid to wear? Well, then in that particular space, sometimes it's kind of like offensive for the kid to deny that particular family member. Like, he has to be overjoyed if he gets it for Christmas, or she has to be overjoyed. She has to say, thank you, of course. That's just the respectable thing to do. But beyond that, it's like, no, you have to be happy, and you have to wear it. And you have to have a smile on your face while you wear it. So then, I believe, do those moments, this is the question, do those moments create a space for unhealthy boundaries? Or is that just something that a kid needs to go through?
And the most offensive thing is to walk into somebody's house as a Southerner and they offer you food and you don't take it. I was trying to teach Stevie that. He's California, man. And I was trying to teach him that. I said, listen, I'm going to take it out here to South now, okay? Listen, we're going down South. Somebody say you want something to eat, just take it.
Yeah.
Sit to the side and nibble on it a little bit.
Or take it to go.
Say, you know, I just ate. Thank you. I didn't know it was coming by. I just ate, actually. But can I take it to go? Because it looks so good.
Yeah.
That's how you do that. See, that you have to kind of like
wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove.
That's what it, okay. Period. You have to. So, I think that, in my opinion, back then, and to go back to what you said, I think that that boundary should have been implemented.
Okay.
Where? Because I'm actually doing that with Riley and saying, hey, listen, if you don't want to do these things, you don't have to do these things, right? Yeah. And it's like, just because I went and spent summers with X, Y, and Z don't mean that you have to actually do that. Yeah. So when you come back and you complain to me about the things that happened that you weren't happy with as a child, that's okay. I created a safe space. Side note, create a safe space for your kids to talk to you, y'all. Okay? Yeah, don't be overreacting. My daughter come up to me and ask about all type of stuff. She'd be like, such and such said something about the ASS word and everything else. And so, what that mean? I'd be like, well, let me tell you something. It's a dirty word for this. You know, and we just really, I never overreact with her. So, she really feels like I'm a safe space. So, with that being said, creating a safe space for her to talk, I now know how to implement those, to tell her how to implement those boundaries even for herself, which she does greatly with her friends. But again, to your point, I am now allowing her to know that, hey, you're not really forced to do anything.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, if you don't want to go to grandma's for 3 months, you don't have to go to grandma's 3 months. But let's maybe do a compromise here so that grandma can see you. Yeah. So what does that look like for you? 2 weeks? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I know that you're going to go there for your 2 weeks. So you may want to stay 3 now that you're there. But either way, you know, you have the option of coming back home or actually staying longer. You're not really forced to do some of those things that don't make you happy. So gotcha. That's what I'm trying to implement with her now.
That's got
to
be tough. That's got to be tough. Like in that space mm-hmm. as a parent, not so much to make that type of decision, but to always be cognizant of exactly how to make a perfect balance.
Yeah.
Because you are literally... as Bishop would say, betwixt and between two places. You got mama on one side and your daughter on the other, and you're in the middle mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, you're the adult. So you really set the tone of the gate. If it's open or if it's closed, like that's really on you.
Well, here's the thing though, when we think about that, who is the satisfying, the child or grandma? So grandma is not even respecting boundaries at that point. You know what I'm saying? Grandma is saying, this is what I desire. I want. Not what y'all want.
Right.
It ain't even about y'all no more. It's about me. Mm. So that's another thing. You know what I mean? Who is it actually about? Because if you get offended that I say, hey, she's going to stay 2 weeks instead of 3 months, then who is it actually about? Is it about her coming to visit you? Okay, we've done that. Mm-hmm. But now we lean into what you want. Mm-hmm. More so of what they want.
Yeah.
And so because you're an adult, it's like, it's because I said so.
That is true. And like you said, especially coming from the South, that's something that's all, like, what's understood ain't got to be explained.
Period. It's almost too like, you're going to eat whatever's on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're going to eat what's on your plate.
So that's...
This is like chitlins.
Right. So so segue real quick, because we talked about this too. What? In the space where, when it comes to food... I grew up, and the typical African American home is definitely
say
like
black.
This.
Black, we say black.
Whatever.
African American home.
Either way, in that particular space, what happens is that they usually or typically have a separate meal for the kids. If you go to where there is a big family function or a church function or whatever, it's like the kids get hot dog and chips. And then the adults are the ones who have ribs, chicken, et cetera, et cetera. And now the tide is changing. Because now I'm starting to see people actually make sure, why can't the kids have chicken and ribs? And why can't this happen? Mm-hmm. And I remember that probably came because we didn't have the finances that we do now.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that, Big Papa got a plate and yada yada, and Grandma got a plate because she's slaving. And so, you want to make sure that the family members actually who was working and slaving and stuff actually got that type of food. But as we've come up from a socioeconomic perspective, man, we're doing better now.
Sure.
So now the kids is eating lobster. They going to Red Lobster. They going to Cheesecake Factory. They going to Olive Garden. They doing Chipotle. They doing Uber Eats. They're doing some Ruth Chris. You know, it literally has no particular limit now. It's like...
For me, it do.
I'm just saying, it's changing. And I don't think that's bad, because let's be honest. If we go right now, if you and I were to go up to Ruth Chris right now, we would see different cultures...
Yes.
With their kids.
Absolutely.
Literally at that particular restaurant. Oh, never forget when we went to Hawaii.
I was about to bring
that
up.
Yeah, man.
I was holding my peace. Yeah. I was like, okay, if he don't say it, I got to bring it up.
That was a perfect example.
That pissed us off.
So like all
and
of us.
And church people, yes, you can be pissed off. Yeah. Okay, we say that and get pissed off.
So it was like 7-8 of us all went to Hawaii, all brought our kids, all went to go have a good time and take them for spring break, just something that we wanted to do for them, man. Such a great time. And we go to this particular restaurant, and when we get there, we're literally seated in the back, and we had to pass by several tables. As we're passing by several tables, we passed by some, there was black women. They were like literally.
They
were
some black and ugly.
They
was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, nevertheless.
Black and ugly. Is that what they was bloody?
Black. These bloodly women.
Yeah.
Nah, but they were literally.
Black, you finna make one. It was like. Y'all gotta be hot as fish grease. Just a minute. It's just triggering.
It was like three or four of them sitting at a table, and as we passed by, they said, I wouldn't be bringing my kids up in here.
All of us got our kids.
All of us, literally. It's like, what, 6 kids? All of them or whatever, man, just sitting at the table. And that was their perspective. And, again, I understand it to some degree, because there was a time in which we didn't have the resources to be able to provide that type of atmosphere for our kids. And I think that's what we lean into. And this is the thing. How many of us are still leaning into what it used to be, even though we're no longer there? We are leaning into maybe what our parents, you know, had as far as their money, or leaning into what we started off with. And now for many of us, we've been blessed. We've been taken care of. We're in a better space, but we're not operating like we're in a better space. We still are operating like we're still there, still back in the day.
Actually, you said by me at the table, Stevie said by me at the table, and I was like, what are you? I don't forget how the conversation went. But you said something like, people just get on my nerves or something.
No, I wasn't me. All you guys were talking about it first.
No, no, no. Because Kev and Melissa didn't know. We brought it to their attention. And I was like, X, Y, Z. I forgot if I said it or you said
Melissa
it.
Melissa was the first one that I heard say it.
No.
I was passing by because she said, she was like, I was like, what are you guys talking about? And she was just like, those late. I was like, oh, yeah, I heard them too. And they was like, you did? And I was just like, yeah, I heard them.
But
I was like, what?
I told them about that. Like, so they didn't hear it. So I think I told them or something like that, and then that's how we jumped into it. But we all
so you
talked
were
about
me.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. But we all talked about it, and I was like, well, I walked past there, and I heard them say it, okay. And, you know, it was about to be some sad singing and flower bringing.
Period.
Okay. But I have a, you know, the churn was there.
Yeah.
Churn was there, and I was like, bring it on down.
Period.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And plus, I look cute and smell good that night, so I was just like, you know, I mean, go gospel based on these people. But yeah, when we started, we were like, we were all like, wow, that's crazy. But we did talk about that and say that we know why they said that, because to them, it was probably like, we're going to Hawaii, we ain't got no kids, it's our trip. For right. us, it's like, this is vacation with our children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're prepared to kind of spend whatever needs to be spent. Not saying that, you know, ball out, cash out, but we know when you travel with kids, you know, all that, and you want them to have a good life. We work very hard for our kids to experience the things that we didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
That's what every parent wants and desires.
Yeah.
No real, I feel like, emotionally healthy parent wants to put their kids through the same
deprive
thing that they
yeah.
went through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, so if I didn't get a chance to eat these things, and now I can, why should I deprive my children or my child from doing the same thing that I'm
yeah.
able to do?
Yeah.
I do believe that you can do it in doses. Like for Riley, I mean, we ain't eating like filet mignon and ribeyes and all that stuff every day.
Right.
She eat a ham sandwich and peanut butter jelly like the best of them.
Right.
So do I.
Yeah.
But when we do go out or whatever, I'm like, get what you want. She's
yeah.
a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
She does what I ask her to do. I don't have to really tend to her like that. You know, she's pretty responsible. So I feel like she should be rewarded in that space.
Yeah.
So it's something different than when your kids just ain't acting right and all that. They give you all type of fluff and all that. Then maybe that's a form of discipline for them. Because I do remember a friend who her boys loved her cooking. But they kept acting up in school. You know what she did? She stopped cooking.
She shut the whole kitchen down.
They ain't gonna eat no crab leg, no steak, no nothing, okay? They ain't do none of that.
Yeah.
Now, it was on cold food. Everything they ate had to be cold. Cold
gotcha.
Sandwich, Jello, all that stuff. And I was like, that is genius.
Yeah.
You know, so I can understand that, right? She implemented a boundary.
You gotta adapt.
Yeah. But as far as I do believe, just to answer your question, I do believe that we do. We get stuck so far in the past, and that is our unhealed trauma that we project on our children and everyone else, not also our not just our children, but everyone else in our life. We project that past trauma on them as if you can't get past that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I had never been to Hawaii, and I thought that it would be, I mean, I just thought it would be so much fun to actually bring my son to Hawaii for my first trip. I love the idea of like traveling with him and him seeing and experiencing places and things that I had never experienced myself. So that was me actually trying to change the trajectory of what I had gone through growing up. And it wasn't like I was deprived. It was just the fact that, you know, my parents didn't have it like that. So they were literally trying to take care of us. So to be in a position where I can do it, you know, I just thought that was dope. So,
yeah. We went on a lot of trips and stuff. We was up in that van. My dad had a van, a little Chevrolet blue van with that tire on the back. He stopped every 2 hours smoking cigarettes, and he was drinking Jack Daniels while he was driving us to North Carolina at the same time. Baby, I got some stories. My daddy's van had a little bed in it and everything, baby. Had a little velvet seats. It was a player van. Okay. About to put it on Instagram for y'all. Player, okay. Player. My dad was a player, had a player band. He smoked them Winston-Salem cigarettes, baby. Yeah. And then drank that Jack Daniels on our way to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where he's from. We'd be like, is he drinking that drive?
He put the chicken in the foil.
Man, what?
Yeah.
No. See, that's the thing about my daddy.
What's that?
My daddy actually, even though we was broke, he spent money on food.
Oh, so when y'all got out, y'all went and like...
Man, we bought out with the Hardee's.
Hardee's.
We ate at KFC. We ate at the Irish Skin. My daddy, one thing about him, he would feed you. That is the one thing that he would spend money on. Yeah. He loved to eat, and we bonded through that. So I can't say that I was deprived in that area growing up. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of stuff, but my daddy would take us down to Brian's Seafood on Friday night. Up in Hewittown, Alabama. Okay, Alabama people know Brian's Seafood, but he would like get you some fried shrimp and some fries and coleslaw. We bought it now.
Yes.
Bill be $100. Woo! Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, that was his way, and we just actually bonded over food. So I can't say that's my story. Just to go back to what we talked about. I can't say that's my story in that.
Yeah.
You know, because my parents did believe in food. And in the South, like, we really just, we just cook good food and we love good food. And so we'll spend money on food. But yeah,
gotcha.
Going back to the boundary situation, I think that also, to your point, we do put past projections on people or whatever. And then,
Yeah.
That's
what so, one of the sections of the book says that good boundaries actually tell you how much to give and when to stop.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fact. So,
woo!
Like you said,
that's a word.
How much to give and when to stop. So, as a parent, I think, or whatever, we kind of been talking about this, and I think this is a good way to focus on it. As parents, I think that, again, if my child is acting up, if he's not behaving like he's supposed to, then definitely he's going to get some stuff taken away. Matter of fact, he might miss out on some stuff he didn't even know he was going to end up getting.
Bad rod sport chat.
Period. Period. Yeah. Because I love him, because I care for him, we're going to make sure that we go about it this way. But because, again, he's behaving. And here's another part.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thought out there that if I give my child too much and I don't allow them to struggle and to suffer, then they actually won't have the work ethic, the drive, the ambition, and things like that that actually helped to create my character, or, you know, say your character, or basically the parents' character. And we talked about this while we was in Hawaii, and I said that what we can all attest to is that if you look to your left and to your right from people that you grew up with, there's a lot of people that had your same struggle, that grew up in your same, say if you had an impoverished neighborhood, if you grew up on Section 8, if you grew up on food stamps, if you grew up, you know what I'm saying, not having a lot of money and didn't have a lot of opportunities, there's a lot of people who grew up just like you who chose still not to go to college, not to actually advance in their career, not to actually pursue something, not to actually display good work ethic. So there's not a truth that you have to basically have poverty to have work ethic. Poverty does not give you work ethic automatically. Poverty does not give you character. Poverty does not give you goals and ambition. That's not what poverty provides. So we have to understand that there has to be another character trait that maybe the parent provides that actually helps that kid understand, like, no, you're going to get up, you're going to make up your bed, you're going to actually put up your toys, you're going to actually do your homework on time, you're going to take a those are things that the parent does. And that has nothing to do with money. That has everything to do with the atmosphere that you create in your home. Again, establishing healthy boundaries. So, yeah, as a parent, you have to know how much to give and when to stop by knowing each child, because every child is different.
I understand what you're saying. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Period.
For all of y'all like that, because sometimes people can get a little deep. They be like trying to sift through it like the man on the Hangover. It's like a rocket sign calculation. Sometimes, even he gets me sometimes, y'all. I be like, so what you saying is, and like I have to do like, okay, let me break it down in ratchet terms. You gotta know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Yeah.
Okay,
and every game is different. Spades ain't poker, so you gotta be able to understand the different type of the game that you playing in order to move like you need to.
I think that character is built. I think that you develop character, and no matter what it is that you give them, if they develop character and discipline, they'll be good steward over it no matter what. And so I think that is what people don't understand is that, like you said, poverty does not mean X, Y, and Z. It doesn't change. It can't make or break anything. I don't believe. I think people work harder because they don't want to be in that situation.
Right.
Then you have people that be like, "I'm cool."
Right.
Right here.
Right.
Staying in the projects 20 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? And listen, that's your prerogative. Because I ain't over here judging nothing. If that's what you like to do, then that's fine. If you have a group of people that's saying, like, nah, I'm not going to be that by any means necessary. I'm getting out of here. And yeah. then they... but what they do is they create a better life, and then they put the trauma on the child saying, because I went through this, you got to go through this too.
Right.
But what was the point of creating a better life?
Right. What was the point? If you did yeah. all of that just to literally revisit trauma in the next generation.
I think that there is things that you implement in the better life that creates discipline, character, tenacity, momentum, all of that. Those right. are things that you can implement for sure. But it doesn't have to be like how you learned it.
Right.
I mean, I had no choice. Now you've worked hard to put yourself in a better position so that your children do have a choice in this space.
Yeah.
So what are we building? You know what I mean? Focus yeah. on that. What are you trying to, what kind of person are you trying to help them become? And putting them in the ghetto or depriving them for certain things that you had, is yeah. that the answer? You yeah. know what I'm saying? And now here's the thing about it. Like, just everybody knows that I grew up in the hood and all that stuff. But my daughter ain't ever seen a hood. That's fine. But she got hood tendencies.
It's in her.
It's in her. You know what I'm saying? It's in her. But I wanted her to go to a better school. You know what I mean? All that. But I also know that growing up the way that I did, man, I learned a lot of good stuff and I learned a lot of life skills. So I implement those into her and put them in there and say, hey, you got to actually know this stuff. You got to be book savvy and street savvy.
Yeah.
You need this yeah. balance here, right here, because I ain't raising nobody green. That ain't what we doing. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. you ain't about to get played. You going to be the player.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm trying to, I try to give her while she still has a better life. You know, than I had.
Yeah.
So.
I heard somebody say this before, and I think it's true. They were saying that drug dealing ain't much different from corporate America.
So, like, actually, drug dealers know how to do it.
So, when you start looking at that aspect, then you realize that you talk about different cultures. You talk about white America, who didn't actually grow up necessarily impoverished or come from the hood or things like that. And yet, they understood the skill set because it's business.
Right.
So, that just, again, shows that you don't have to literally put your kid through the hood in order for them to have a certain level of street savvy. They can learn that through business because business really requires that. You find out or whatever that the business world is gutter. Like, they don't care nothing about you. It ain't personal.
Especially not Hollywood.
You know what I mean? So, I think or whatever, like you said, there's better ways to educate your kids without trying to make them suffer the same way you suffered. There's other ways for them to get that skill set, whether it's through the school they went through or the particular things they participate in. There's other ways. That's my point.
Yeah. And the world has changed since, you know, from back in the day. Like, things ain't the same as it was in the 90s and all that stuff or whatever, too.
It's true.
So, we live in a different type of environment. We have all this technology and all this stuff, whatever, and we didn't have access to all this stuff that's out there too. So that's a horse of another color though.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Well, shout out to y'all, man. We definitely enjoyed this particular episode talking about boundaries. We wanted to cover a little bit, but at the same time give you a lot of it.
Woo!
Yeah, but as we were saying before, shout out to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. Remember, you can get your delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/grownfolks
mm-hmm.
and use the code grownfolks to save $5 off. Once again, shout out. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, shout out to
the doors of the church are open.
Praise God. But yeah, that's it. We done,
man.
Whoa! What? What's wrong with you?
The time frame went by faster than you thought. We actually did it in the right time frame.
What time we at?
We are definitely at over 45 minutes. I know that for sure.
There is nothing to have forgotten.
We got to figure out a way to suck that in.
I forgot. Power belongs to God. Baby. Man, God said, I got to go. God called you to prayer?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I got to intercede, you know?
No, you ain't going to intercede on Instagram, Koji.
Oh, man. But we love y'all, man. Thank y'all so much for all of the love and the support you guys continue to provide, man, and
yeah.
supporting the page. We are back on regular schedule, so you can definitely check this particular episode out as well as others. Yeah, we back to the grind, man. Let's go.
We ain't never not been on the grind.
That is true. That we had a segue for a little bit to handle some other business. But again, man, we excited for what things are happening for the Grown Folks Business Podcast. It's a good thing.
We excited about the people that's listening. Amen.
Okay,
listen out there.
Mother Rose has just entered the chat. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, for all of you guys out there listening, we totally appreciate it, and we hope that this is actually helping you to guide you along the way. And, you know, because somebody said, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living, Heboshaya, shall not be in vain. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Okay? So, yeah, we definitely missed you guys and just so happy to be here again. And we want to hear more from you. We actually have some emails that we probably get to the next episode. Yeah. We had a crazy one. I sent it to Steve. I was like, you see this? He was like, oh, man, this is my type of stuff here. And I'm like, this is. And I was like, first of all, it should be some furniture moving, okay, up in there from this letter. And I was like, who's still alive over there, girl? Because, wouldn't have been them. But anyway, yeah, so we'll see you guys on next week. This was a great episode. I think that this episode... Are you going to linger this on? Is this going to be part two of this?
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about it. Because all we did was talk about it from a parental perspective.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. So next time it's going to be from... You know, he's going to sleep that relationship in.
Oh, period. It got to be. Period. It got to be in there.
That's going to be a good one, actually, though. So part two of Boundaries will be coming up whenever he wanted to come up.
Next week.
Next week. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. And make sure y'all check out the recipes that I got down there in the description box. I mean,
yeah. Definitely do that. And for any of you who have questions and thoughts, again, this is Grown Folks Business is the email
address. @gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Thank you. So definitely send us your thoughts, concerns, questions. Much love. Be blessed. Let's grow.
Bye, guys.